Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Sarah Wells. Oh, that wasn't as good as the first time. And alongside me is my friends Christian Warren and Jane Fawcett. How are you guys doing today?
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Well, you just butchered the intro.
I know, but the first time was better. We can just do the first
Christian.
One.
Christian.
Oh, man. I love it. Come
You're
on.
You're such a meanie.
Can I redo it?
Yeah, redo it.
Okay,
last time.
Don't butcher it.
I will. I'll just keep moving. Jeez. Okay. There's an Australian part? from South Africa. Johannesburg, South Africa. All right. I don't know what accent's going to come out.
Just go.
Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Sarah Wells, and alongside me is Christian Warren and Jane Fawcett.
Oh, almost forgot my name.
I almost called you Carrie Jobe.
Sarah, welcome back from London.
Oh, thank you very much.
Are you going to talk like that this whole episode?
No, I can't. We can't hold it very long. I learned while I was there that I'm not good at British accents like I thought I was.
Right. So, Sarah, you were gone for 2 weeks.
Yes,
and you were on a mission trip out there. And then second week, you kind of hung out and kind of saw some of the sights in London.
Yeah. First 10 days was mission trip. Last 3 days was... sightseeing.
Yeah, and so good times. You learn a lot. Maybe give us a quick update about what was something God taught you out there. Or I read your email this morning, and I thought it was really cool. The Fresno connection that you made.
Yeah.
Maybe talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, we went thinking that we were going to do a lot of talking to people in pubs or coffee shops about the Lord, and we weren't given as many opportunities as we were planning on. And then we talked about how we should be having that kind of zeal in Fresno. And the coffee shops there aren't like the coffee shops here, where at Starbucks there's a bunch of couches facing each other. So
right.
You're almost forced to talk to the person next to you if you don't have headphones in. And there aren't like that at all. And so we thought, wow, Fresno is far more conducive to this. Why aren't we looking for opportunities all the time in Fresno?
Yeah.
So it was really challenging in that way. And it left us really excited to come back to Fresno and do what we wanted to do there here.
Which is a great tie-in to the sermon series.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah,
foreshadowing.
But me and Jane missed you, or at least I missed you.
Oh my gosh, Sarah.
I know.
I missed her so bad.
On the Spoutcast or at home?
In every aspect of my life.
Because me and Jane live, work, and play together.
We do. We are the definition of the Wells Mission Statement.
We are.
We've talked about doing a funny little collage about how this
picture
is us
collage.
Living together, brushing our teeth together, us playing together,
watching
going to the
TV.
Gym together or whatever.
That's play.
We haven't really gone to the gym together in a long time, have we? Tonight, maybe. And then...
we work
working
together
on
our laptops.
Obviously, yeah.
That would be, yeah.
I guess, we don't live together, but we work and sometimes play together. This is play for
this
me,
is
the
play.
Spoutcast.
Yeah, this
so
is play.
Could I be in
it's
two
right,
of those collages?
You're not as good of a friend as we are.
So. Well, Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you.
Kevin Tinkin is not here. He's having surgery.
I'm super bummed.
Yeah.
I was real excited for him to be here.
He's been in surgery a lot lately, so we could pray for him.
Probably his gout.
No, it's a little bit different.
Not as gout.
But
we got a cool episode for you guys. We're going to do a sermon discussion on Brad's sermon and the one, the only Brad. I don't know his middle name, Bell. I forgot to ask him his middle name. Shoot. And then
really think it's James.
Really?
Someone
knows that.
Some
email
reason,
us in. But then also, Brad's going to stick around and talk with us a bit about our State of the Church. It's coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then we'll kind of close out the show with some announcements. But
Close out the show.
Sorry.
It's okay, Christian. You failed.
If you guys listen to any other podcast and there's a host or just even a...
co-host?
Yeah,
we're all co-hosts, and so nobody ever in the middle of the show makes fun of how they talk
Christian,
on the radio
we
program.
We are only learning from our leader.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Oh, because I make fun of people all the time?
Yeah, when they mess up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Sarah, tell us
just
about
so you guys
the music.
Know, yeah, well, wait. We recorded our intro three or four times.
Oh my
Sarah
gosh.
Could...
There you go. You just threw it under the bus again, Christian.
I messed up the intro quite a few times because right. British accent's a little difficult.
Sarah, tell us about our music this week.
Well, during the closing ceremonies of the Olympics, I got to watch it all, not live on a screen, but I loved all the music. It was like a giant British concert. If you didn't catch it, you should.
Right.
So we are featuring all British artists today. One being Spice Girls.
Yeah, one being Spice Girls.
Another one being Muse. And
Muse wasn't at the closing ceremonies, right?
Yeah, they were.
So did we get artists that were, except Adele?
Adele wasn't at the closing ceremonies.
Okay, but yeah. Tiny Tempa was at the closing ceremonies, who's a rapper. Spice Girls, great performance.
Right.
Except Ginger Spice is not Ginger Spice anymore. She's more Blonde Spice. Oh, I don't know if you guys noticed that. Have you guys ever played that game, Two Truths and a Lie?
Yes.
This is a real thing. I saw Spice Girls twice when I was growing up in high school or junior high, and I would always use that as my truth, and people would always say, that's your lie, and I go, no. Seen him twice.
Wow.
It's a big deal.
Got him.
Jeez.
And then who's the last? Oh, Adele is the last artist. I'm really excited because this is more my music realm, you know.
Well,
for these. What?
I thought of it. Yeah. It's Sarah's choice.
It's Sarah's doing musical
the music,
choice.
Therefore, but the music those two has
songs
been good. Are
yours. Let's say this. If I were to select these songs for this episode, you guys would have been like, oh, Christian's music. This is awful.
Yeah, no. Because your music is always a fail.
But that's what you guys would
I tried
say.
To get One Direction on, but he nixed that one.
I actually didn't. I just really wanted to play this dubstep version of Adele.
They did a great job at the closing ceremonies. We were dancing stuff.
Jane?
Yep. Still here.
Jane, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you that the Olympics are over?
11 and a half.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we got a great show for you guys today. And it's fun to have Brad sit in with us. And we found out today that Brad does not listen to the Spoutcast. So hopefully after today, he will be a fan. But stay tuned with us throughout and enjoy some British music.
You know, I can remember I came to Christ in college and I'd never really seen church for the most part. And so I remember then going to churches and I'm looking on the wall like, oh, wow, okay. Oh, and I'm looking at these people and it's like, oh, you know, like the missionaries. Like there's good Christians and then there's a whole nother level. Those people are crazy. Those people went to Africa. Right? India or wherever. And you look at them. There was a couple things I noticed, by the way, when I looked at these pictures. One is they were all really, really old. Okay? That was one thing I noticed. Two is it became very odd to me that those were the people that we celebrated as if the guy banging away in his neighborhood here in town wasn't as spiritual as that guy. That bothered me. I start reading my Bible. I'm like, wait a second. Why is it that we exalt the missionary and everybody's okay with that? Like the church, the guy comes back in from overseas. He brings his 15 kids. He stands before the church and they go, hey, this is our missionary. And everybody goes, that's our missionary. And they sit on their backside, cut a check to support the missionary who's doing ministry. And everybody golf claps like, isn't this great to be a part of this church? And I'm reading the Bible for the first time, okay? And I'm going, wait a second. I think we're all called to be missionaries. Wait a second. I think we're all called to live like that. But we may not all be called to go to Africa. I think the calling of God on our life as the people of God is as spectacular as the people that are on that wall.
All right. That was a clip from Brad's sermon this past week. I guess you could call it In Every Neighborhood. That was kind of the third piece to this mission statement series. And Brad kind of started it with this missionary example and kind of coming from an environment where you see all these missionaries on the wall and churches really glorifying that. And we as the Well, definitely, we want to be different and we want to glorify people that are doing mission work here in every neighborhood in Fresno. And so Brad kind of talked about that and really drove our audience or our church. Mm-hmm. I don't know, what would you call it? Our crowd. Congregation, just to really connect to God, but also connect to each other in every neighborhood. And mm-hmm. so it was just kind of the culmination of all the three messages coming together. Mm-hmm. And we decided to have Brad step in for a little discussion about your own personal sermon. Is that weird to talk about your sermon?
It is a little bit. Well, you just let people into every time after you communicate. You know this, I'm sure, is the worst part about communicating is the drive home.
Okay.
You just replay the tapes and you're like, why did I say that? And that was stupid and that offended everybody. And
no. Did you feel like you offended somebody?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
All the time.
I just felt like this son. I mean, yes, you probably did offend somebody who was maybe a missionary who's on a wall of a church, maybe.
Or has ever attended any other church.
But I just felt like it was so good because how many of us have ever gone to another church and seen those on the wall and gone, I'll probably never do that in my lifetime, mm-hmm. you know, and then you just feel bad about yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. It's so good. So, you went through the passage of Ephesians, but really the first probably 20 minutes of the midweek service that I heard you got going. And so I remember you said to me on Sunday, you're like, that midweek message, I'll never give one of those again.
Never.
When you go
off script as much as I did, you know, it's one of those messages where you're preaching your heart. Right. So I've lived it. When we started the church, that's why we started it. And here we are 10 years later. And after the evening services, I went back to Kevin Tinkin, who I think is on the show quite a bit.
He just got a surgery or something.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He got a surgery.
Plays drums and has been around from the beginning. And I said, man, it's exciting to see that 10 years later, we're still preaching the same message. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you go off script. I started getting, you know, fired up about stuff. And I knew it wasn't going to be a high expositional message, but all of a sudden I realize I'm out of my notes. And so I'm like off trail.
Okay.
It's like, well, you either go with it or, you know, you come back and you look all mechanical working through notes. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's see where this goes. And so, yeah, it was one of those moments where I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm saying, but I think I know what you want me to communicate at the end of the day. And so we kind of went for it. But yeah, it's hard to repeat those.
I think the hope in all of it, and you really communicated, is that people would look at, obviously we use the word language of live, work, and play here at the Well, but it's like you would look at where you live, you would look at where you work, and you would look at where you play, or even for our high school and junior hires, where you go to school, you would look at all those things as your mission field.
Absolutely.
And Melissa Denisi, who works at the Well as a spiritual formation at Clovis, she had an Instagram this morning that said, she posted a photo of her school. And she said, this is my mission field. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just this concept of like, look, I'm going to be in every neighborhood and I will not, like, my heart is like heavy if I am not connecting these people to God in every neighborhood I'm in. And, you know, Brad, when did you fly in that helicopter?
That was Friday night.
So Friday night, Brad posted this Instagram. I think it's on your Facebook as well, of just you overlooking the whole city. And what was your quote on there that I thought was brilliant?
It just got me thinking differently about every neighborhood.
Yeah.
You just start seeing, I think Fresno, they said, was like 125 or so square miles.
Right.
So you go, there's our mission field.
Yeah. Right. And I think that we look at that and it's like there are so many broken people in Fresno. We talk to our high school students all the time about there are so many broken people in your schools that don't know Christ. And it's like, but we think, well, I can only do missions work on a mission trip. Mm-hmm. And I can only be a missionary on a mission trip. But the reality is like, we've got to start looking at the people we interact with day in and day out as really our mission field.
Yeah, and looking for strategic opportunities. Like each of us have a unique gift set. So like, for example, I got a call. Fresno State football, they're transitioning from a chaplain who's been with them since I handed it off to him, Jamal Jones, who's getting into counseling. And anyway, they needed a chaplain. Mm. And so they said, Brad, do you want to be the chaplain? I'm thinking, well, I don't have time to do that. But how do I not do that?
Yeah. Right.
Because I've got an opportunity to go in that world where not a lot of people do, and I can be light to those guys. That's a unique mission field that God has prepared me for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to go. So this morning, I was out at the football practice meeting some of the players with Lauren Bell, who's in our church working with FCA.
Yeah.
And so Lauren and I are going to tag team this chaplain thing.
That's cool.
And I'm like, that's my mission field.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You especially know? Having come out of that, you are right in line with that.
Absolutely. So what unique experiences do we have that we say, well, you know, I've been there, I've done that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or you could say, no, because I've been there and done that, God put me there. And so now I've got an open door. I speak their language. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a unique mission field for me.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
This is a question I got asked when we were kind of driving our leaders to really help our students cast, like, see this vision. How would you kind of encourage somebody who's just never really shared the gospel, has a hard time with it, maybe a quieter person, has a hard time getting out of their own home? You talk about we live in a box, we drive in a box, mm-hmm. we go into a box, we open a box, we sit and watch a box. How do you get somebody to move from, you know, even believing in something to then going to do something?
Yeah, I think part of it, like, if you're just at, if you, are you asking the question, like, how do you help someone share their faith, share Christ?
Yeah, almost just like, I see the vision. I know that I need to be connecting in my neighborhood. My neighbors, I've never talked to them or whatever that is. How do you get them to move from like, I need to now get outside and I need to start doing this now. Do you know what I mean?
I think in some ways it has to do with the small wins. Mm-hmm. Like, if we can show people just some small victories of, hey, that person, like the person, I told a story at the 7 of a gal who works at Starbucks. She told me in between services that she works with somebody, and you know, sometimes you work in those environments. Some people are easier to get along with than others.
Right.
And so there was a person that's, you know, she's trying to share Christ with. And that person left her a note at the end of the shift going, hey, I really enjoy working with you.
That's cool. Mm.
Huge win for her. For now, sure, did she articulate the gospel?
Right.
No, but she's living the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And now she's more excited and more energetic to enter in with that person than she ever would have before. So helping them see those little wins and then celebrating those, not just the home runs.
Right.
Hey, I shared the gospel. Oh, well, did they come to Christ? No. And we go, oh. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like,
right.
No, you showed up. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I there's just so many times growing up where I would start talking to somebody, but I wouldn't actually say the name of Jesus. And so I'd walk away like kicking myself, like they do not know Jesus any better because of our interaction. But in reality, no, they do, because they just had a great interaction with a believer where they could have had a bad taste in their mouth towards believers before, you know, and not every conversation has to like have the explicit gospel. I mean, eventually that's the goal, but not everyone has to have that.
Yeah. I think one of the things that the well has really started to say from the stage at the end of the service is really key in this whole thing is like, we sometimes just, if you grow up in church, you just assume that the pastor is supposed to be the one to share the gospel, or the pastor is supposed to be the one to connect them to God. But throughout this whole series, we've been hearing kind of post-message, somebody, whoever taught or campus pastor will come up and say, you be the one to start talking to these people about the gospel. You be the one to be the representation of Christ. And it's on you. And I think Brad's right. And just the little wins, you know, I think July 4th is like a huge thing that we push every year at the well. It's like, man, you don't even necessarily need to share anything over July 4th. Just get out and meet your neighbors. Get outside. Halloween is another great opportunity that we've said, you know what? We can't fight the culture that happens, but we have an opportunity to meet people that we wouldn't normally meet. And so even looking for those situations of just going, this is my neighborhood. How am I going to connect with these people? Yeah.
You know, I talk to a lot of folks too, Christian, and you probably do as well, ladies, but there's a sense of, okay, great. So I see my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And they're there at the curb and I'm there at the curb and there we are.
Right.
Then what? You know? Right. And there's kind of this panic, like, okay, what kind of canned illustration can I tell that will get us into the gospel? Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, honestly, there's two things I would recommend for people. One is ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. See, we tend to want to talk a lot. Right. Just ask a lot of questions. So where are you from?
Yeah.
So what do you think about? Where do you work? What do you do? What do you do in your free time? What do you love? What's your biggest, you know, challenge in life? You know, hey, is there anything in your life I can pray for? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. You're a what? A Christian.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have a faith background? By asking questions, at some point, they're going to start asking you something. And if not, at best, you're just getting to know your neighbor. Yeah.
And they walk away feeling known and loved and had a great interaction.
Who doesn't love talking about themselves?
Yeah, I was just about to say.
So you take an initiative in their life and ask them questions, and they're like, that person's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and they may ask you some questions too. And that brings me to the second issue, and that is your story.
Right.
Like, everybody's got a story, but you know what? It can be like the guy who was born blind in John 8, right? He goes, look, I don't know all the details.
Yeah,
here's what
this.
I do know.
Yeah.
All I know is blind, and now I see. So for you to go, hey, look, I don't have all the answers, but I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, what's a Christian? Or they roll their eyes or whatever. But you're still able to enter in and go, well, this is what God did in my life. Mm-hmm. It's hard to argue with your personal experience mm-hmm. of what Jesus has done in your life.
You made the nod even in the beginning of the, you referenced that scripture, but before that, you made the nod to going, we're all crazy Larrys. You know what I mean? Like, we're all broken people. And so really none of us, like, we shouldn't be able to do this, but for some reason, God has given us the ability to share the gospel. We don't deserve what we have, and we're all kind of crazy Larrys, and yet he still is calling us to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one caveat, though, that I might mention, I think there's a difference with saying, hey, we're all crazy Larrys, we're all broken, which right. we would all agree with.
Right.
Or saying, I know I keep getting high all the time. I keep yeah. getting high right. all the time, yeah. but I'm a crazy Larry. It's like, well, I understand the struggle to lay aside the old self, but there's got to be a journey that we're on that says, look, the more I walk in step with Jesus Christ, the louder and more clear my voice is of who he is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so if I'm living in compromise, then that's a polluted message. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And if you're okay with living in compromise, that's what would make me worried. Like, you're okay with just getting high all the time? That doesn't convict you at all?
Exactly.
Okay, then that's the conversation that needs to be.
Exactly.
I think there's a thing of it too, and we've kind of touched about it before on the show, of everybody thinking that their testimony has to be a big
yeah.
big, like, I've been saved from drugs, or I've been saved from some big thing. But coming from being in a Christian home or whatever, I had little rebellions.
Right.
And even talking with my high school girls of like, but I have no like aha moment. And then Jesus did this. And it's like, but you do. Jesus saved you from your sin still.
Right.
Sin that is little or big doesn't matter. You still have that moment. Mm-hmm. And
like, that's never a boring story. Like, yeah. Jesus saved you from yourself and from hell. That's a huge story. Like, right. whether you were a drug addict or not, like, yeah. that's still in and of itself huge.
When I was in college, we were living in the Bulldog Apartments. We had the apartment right on top of the manager's office. And my roommate at the time was a PK. Guy had never, with pride, had never, you know, touched a sip of alcohol and never did this and never done that. And right. he's living with me. And at one point, he goes, you know what I want to do? I said, what's that? He goes, I wish I could just go get a case of beer and just get drunk so then I would have a testimony that's powerful yeah. like yours. And I said, well, let me just like break this down. Which testimony is more powerful? A moron who's given to a sinful nature, who binge drinks like an idiot and then comes to faith in Christ? Or a guy who God, by his grace and power, preserves from all of those issues, protects from the sins that his buddy fell into so often, and stands here this day pure before the Lord because of his mighty hand. Which one's sure. more impressive?
Yeah.
You know, so it's an interesting, I hear that a lot. It's an interesting yeah. dynamic, and it's probably our fault because we tend to glorify or sensationalize the Damascus Road experiences.
Sure. Right.
But you know what? God is bringing people to himself at an early age and protecting them. And in many ways, I think that's even more profound.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I think it's that mindset that you just said, that really when you say that to your roommate that's a PK, that needs to ignite something of going, gosh, why do I think like this? Like that sort of ignition inside of us is really what's going to get us to drive to really want to connect with other people, and because we want what we have for them, and we really want to, and so that way that person goes, man, I got to get outside of myself, and I got to start telling people in my neighborhood yeah. about this Jesus who has saved me from my sin, and I don't want another like Brad Bell to live another day binge drinking. Like, I want to get in these people's lives, and I want to start connecting them to God. You know,
it's fun watching the whole thing go down too, because that PK I told you about, who I lived with, and then another friend of mine named Trent Dilfer, who I played football with, those two guys prayed for me. And they, in helping people connect to God, said, if we can get that guy. And they just started praying for me. And I'd walk through campus and they pray for me. They invited me to the event where I came to Christ. Then in terms of helping people connect to each other, Brandon, my PK buddy, invited me to move in with him. I was like, wow, okay. So I moved in with this guy. I'd never seen a guy have a quiet time in my life. And he's like, oh, here's how you have a quiet time. I'm like, this is fantastic.
Right.
And then they said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to reach the athletes at Fresno State. And so we lived every neighborhood, opened our home, and had all of the athletes. There were 50 athletes that would gather in our apartment to do a Bible study on a weekly basis. And I look back and I go, man, brilliant.
Yeah.
These guys planted the seed of what it means to be the church right when I had come to Christ. And I just wonder how many other Brandons or Trents or Brads are out there who might not stand on a stage and preach the gospel,
right?
But can certainly help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood right where they already are.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think that's that's the whole reason why we are doing this message, but that's also the whole reason why we as a church exist. Not so people can just come to church and that's it, but really just like your roommates and your football buddies is like, let's be the church. And those guys, I'm assuming you came to Christ through these people and not through a building.
Am I wrong? No, you these know, guys.
And
absolutely.
It's just like, we have the ability to do that in our workplaces, in our schools, in our, wherever we are at. It's like, gosh, just look at that. Wherever you live, work, and play, we use that language all the time. That is your mission field. And
yeah, you know what? It was probably 6 months ago. And this again is going to sound a little awkward, but I guess welcome to my world. You're used to it. But I started looking around my life. I go, when's the last time I've heard the F word? Mm. Like heard it, like somebody just dropped it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it's actually been a long time. And I wasn't okay with that.
Mm.
Because what I realized is my world was too sanitized.
Yeah. Mm.
I worked with Christians. I live, of course, with a Christian. My kids know the Lord. My friends know the Lord. And I thought, man, I even work out with guys who know the Lord. And usually the gym is full of gym rats that right. need Jesus, right? So I realized I need to find an opportunity to get involved with guys who are dropping the F-bomb on a regular mm-hmm. basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when this chapel thing came along.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And so I really encourage people who might be listening to the show to really consider, when's the last time you heard it?
For sure.
Yeah.
And if you haven't heard it in a while, then let's get out there with people who are dropping it.
Yeah.
Because it's not to say that people who know the Lord don't, but it's just saying, look, the point is made that if we just insulate ourselves with Christians,
mm-hmm. right.
then we're not really living on mission.
Mm-hmm. Totally. No, I think that's a good word to even end on, even though I don't think it's awkward. I think we've talked about it even before. Mm-hmm. It's like we kind of get stuck in our Christian bubbles, and it's like, when's the last time, like, can you name somebody right now in your sphere of people you know that's not a Christian? And it's just like, I think it's good to surround ourselves with that, and because it puts us in situations where we can share the gospel, and it puts us in situations where people look at our lives and go, there's something different about that person. Yeah. And they're going to start asking questions along with you asking them questions as well. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think to look at other people, not as projects
right.
or targets
right.
or your hit list or your mm-hmm. prayer list. But if I ask them, if they'd say, that guy's my friend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. And we've talked about him a long time ago. And it's like, mm-hmm. I have my friend Johnny who it's mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. it's probably been 7 years now, and I just continue to live who I am in Christ, and still 7 years later, still asking questions, still talking about it. And really, it's just one of those things where it's like, man, I swear one day he's going to come to know Christ. And I really believe it. And it's one of those things where it's like, and it's all in God's timing. Mm-hmm. And if I can just continue to live how I live with Christ, like people are going to see that. And I really believe that with you guys listening, wherever you're working, wherever you play, wherever you go to school, whatever, just continue to live as a representation of Christ, because ultimately people are going to see that and they're going to want what you have.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, that person's my friend and they are different and they act different. Mm-hmm. They live differently and I want that.
Yeah.
So Brad, thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it. If you haven't heard Brad's message, please, please, please check out not only this message, but the last 3 weeks of sermons here at the Well. And then we're going to talk about State of the Church, which is next week. So stay tuned for a little discussion with Brad about the history behind State of the Church and why we do it every year. All right, welcome back, and we are here with Brad Bell, our directional leader. That's your official title, correct?
I don't know what it means either.
Okay. But
you lead us, you lead the direction.
Direction.
Now you are the directional leader of the Well, but if you're in my position telling somebody like who you are, it's a very awkward like couple sentences because you're like, our senior, well, our directional leader, well, what is that? Well, all right, he's that guy that's always on stage.
Let's just say that my obscure title is out of respect for guys like you.
Okay.
So that way you're not the associate pastor, which is always awkward.
Right. You know, I don't want to be the associate.
So you just say he's one of our pastors on staff.
All right, is that fair enough?
I'm okay with that.
All right.
Where you lead, we follow.
Really?
Makes me think of Gilmore Girls. Really?
That's Brad's favorite show.
I was just thinking that.
I will follow.
No, I wasn't.
Now, Brad is in the studio because we are about 6 days away from our big State of the Church celebration. And I'm really excited about this. My wife and I this week, and we're like, I am really excited for this year's State of the Church. I think because it's been promoted really well, and so there's some hype around it. But kind of give us the history of what is State of the Church, why do we do it, all of the above.
Yeah, well, this year's huge. It's the decade celebration, above all else, too. So it's not just State of the Church, but here's 10 years now we've been banging away at this thing. So really, the State of the Church initially was a desire to get everybody together and to cast a little vision of where we were going, which in the early days was great. You know, so we all got together on a Sunday, and then we would all get together for State of the Church, which wasn't that different, other than we spent an entire day to kind of look back and then look ahead at what was coming.
Right.
The real win came when we started doing multi-site. And so it was one of the few times with multiple service times and multiple campuses that we were able to come together under one roof and celebrate a little bit. So that's kind of the design.
Now, last year we had a State of the Church, but it was not open for all the campuses. It was kind of for life group leaders across the board, right?
Yeah, we invited leaders. With kind of I didn't like it, okay, kind of tone in my voice, because I felt like it was an attempt for us to do something different, but it didn't communicate what State of the Church, at least in my mind and in my heart, I wanted to communicate in it. We try to do something kind of special for those who led, do it offline, if you will, record a live event, then play it back at our services so that people who, say, went to a different campus didn't feel like they were missing out, but really felt like, hey, this is happening at my campus. Problem is, it didn't capture the momentum of everybody coming together. And so it was a good attempt, but I don't know that we'll do it that way again.
And then all the people who went to the live recording of it, they went to church the next day almost bummed, like, oh, but I just saw this.
Yeah, it's like a rerun.
Yeah.
And then we followed that up with the campus pastors teaching live at their campus with kind of a state of their campus. So it felt like, for the people who attended the live event, it felt like 3 weeks of state of the get this over with.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things with, the reason why I brought that up is not because anything bad about it or anything, but there's a lot of new people that have come to the well over the last couple of years that don't know really what State of the Church is. And I've been asked by some of our leaders, like, what is State of the Church? I'm not really quite sure, because all they saw was last year, and last year was a video that was kind of edited down and whatnot. So as far as expectations for, like, what should I expect if I'm a new person walking into State of the Church? What is the reason for me to be there, in a sense?
Yeah, I think there's going to be an overwhelming sense of this is bigger than me, where you show up to Saroyan Theater, which is a beautiful venue, grateful for the city for letting us go and use that place. You're going to see thousands of people under one roof, which, depending on what campus you go to, it could be that your perspective of the well is the service that you attend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's 150, 200, 300 people, 500 maybe. But now you get to see you're part of a larger whole. And I think add to that the momentum and energy of all of us coming together under the same roof with the same sort of vision, the same direction, the same sense of, hey, we're in this together. Right. So it's kind of a rally meets a party meets a good time to worship together. And we'll still take a couple of minutes and kind of talk about some of the things that we're rolling out. But the things that we're rolling out at State of the Church this year are pretty significant initiatives that are less about, hey, let's focus on spiritual formation, which was wonderful, but it wasn't really, it didn't endear a lot of emotion with it. There wasn't a sense of, man, this is crazy. And State of the Church in years past, there's always been this sense of what are they going to announce next?
Right.
And this year, without spoiling things, this year we're back to that. We're announcing some things this year that I think will shape the next 10 years of the history of this church.
It's like every year, what's the new specs on the new iPhone? And you only hear it at the Apple,
what
big
is that thing called?
What is it called?
It's called the keynote.
The keynote, yeah, this is what it is. Like, you know something big's going to happen, but you have to wait until you hear it.
The big hurrah. Well,
yeah, truth be known, years ago, we wanted to go to a conference, but instead of going to a pastor's conference, we didn't really like hanging out at pastor conferences because we didn't have any Hawaiian shirts. And so what we decided to do is go to Macworld.
Oh,
and
nice.
We went to San Francisco, took a group of the team, and we went to one of those keynote addresses. And I remember sitting there in the auditorium, they announced at that point, it's when they came out with the new iPod Shuffle, that little one that they had, that's now, a relic. But anyway, in the moment, it was fantastic. And I remember they announced it, and this guy next to me is going, oh, my God. Oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Like, it's an MP3 player, and you're freaking out about it. How much more should we get excited about the gospel?
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And I thought what they did, though, was created an event that lent itself to that kind of excitement and response. I said, man, we've got a much better something to communicate, much more redemptive, much more eternal. Let's try it. And so we tried our own little version of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how State of the Church, one of the reasons State of the Church has formed the way it has.
And then we handed out iPod Shuffles at the end.
Yeah.
And then it was just a win-win.
And everybody went,
this is super random, but it'll take 2 seconds. I went for my 11th grade class president. And when I went up there, my first thing was free iPod Shuffles for everyone. And crickets in the audience. It was awful. And then the rest of the year, I didn't win. The rest of the year, people went, where's my iPod Shuffle? I'm like,
oh, did you win?
I lost.
False promises again.
Yeah, it was a false promise.
Oh, so. Where's our Chipotle that you promised 2 years ago?
Now, a few years ago, 4 years ago when I came on staff, we had our very first State of the Church, and it was quite the experience because it's just all these people we'd never seen before. The beginning was balloon launchers, shooting out t-shirts. And I remember going backstage just being what is going on? But it was so awesome. And so every year we've tried to invite some friends out of town or whatever to come and see State of the Church. So they kind of understand where we're coming from. And a few years ago, I had a friend come into town to State of the Church and was just this is so awesome. And this was State of the Church back at Sororian Theater, however you say it, but I suck. But it was awesome because the other people who don't even go to the Well are just this is the vision, this is the place that you're a part of. And it really is a cool experience to bring everybody together and get the vision of this is the church,
Yeah, and I think if we're honest, I wouldn't want to do it every week.
Right.
I think getting that many people together to leaders, to staff seems cool, but to people seems very cold. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So most leaders like things big, most people like it small. And so for us to say, okay, once a year, we go all in on an event. We go big.
Mm-hmm.
I think makes a lot of sense. Now, this year, having seen some of the elements as they're coming together, this is going to be one of the most exciting and fantastic I've been a part of. So I'm pretty stoked about it. Even the Buddy Cop trailer, I just saw the rough cut of that.
Great.
It is it's really funny. Mm-hmm. They've got some other surprises we're going to be doing, some participatory stuff.
Cool.
And, I think this... Really, our team is really stacked. You guys, of course, know that. But I think when you have an event like this and you see each department kind of coming to play with their own giftings, this is going to be, in many ways, I think a 10-year celebration to remember.
You know what's interesting is you mentioned this a lot on Sunday when you're giving the announcement for State of the Church. But one of the things that people may or may not know about the Well is that in the staff culture, but also culture for the Well as a whole, our first rule as a staff is fun. And we do these things like this buddy cop movie or whatever, because to us, it's let's just have a fun time together. And I remember being the first year just going why are we showing? I think it was a musical the first year
good.
But then I realized this is just us having fun, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy or anything like that, because we're having fun. And then there's other elements, I know for this Day of the Church, they're doing a 10-year look back from previous people that have been to the Well. Is that I shouldn't say anything?
That they were going to do a secret something, yes.
Okay.
No, maybe I'm teasing. I don't know that's secret. I think there is going to be an element where they look back. And
right.
Yeah, I think there's a little documentary piece that they're putting together and that sort of thing.
Was I not supposed to say anything?
You just ruined everything.
Yeah. Well, maybe way Brad go, didn't Christian. Know about it and
What's
I didn't know about it.
Surprise.
Oh, great. Really?
No,
I knew about it.
Okay.
I didn't want to mention it. So just pull that part out.
All right, we can maybe pull that out.
No, just keep going.
Just keep going? All right.
Hey, so we're going to have over 100 volunteers that are going to be greeting from the parking lot straight into the building.
Parking lot.
No Kids Connection this year, correct?
Negative, yeah. Just, you know, when you do that, one, it increases the cost a ton, but two, now your volunteers that you really want in the service need to go and take care of the children. So no Kids Connection, but it's a family-friendly event.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be probably, I don't know, hour 45, I would guess, from start to finish when we open doors. But the pre-service festivities are going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know they've got some live music. They've got some food's going to be there. Some of the artwork that we've done over the last decade is going to be on display, which the artists at the Well, honestly, the artists of the Well are the unsung heroes of this place because they have branded, if you will, everything we've done. Mm-hmm. And it has been so different and so awesome. So they're going to have that. And then some participatory stuff as well that you can kind of mark the moment in kind of the old school I Am Jonah type of like, I want to participate in something moment.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool.
Now, you mentioned that there's going to be worship. Do you know if all the worship leaders are coming, like all the campus worship leaders are coming together?
We're making a choir is what I heard.
With matching robes.
Yeah. And a bell choir.
And the senior pastor will perform. Uh-huh. No. There will be worship. The thought would be we want to get the multitudes of people who call this place home to come in and celebrate together in worship. There's going to be a couple guest appearances and a couple exciting Michael drops, if you will.
Michael W. Smith?
Oh, please. Steve Green.
Sarah.
That's disgusting.
No,
he's... No, that, it sounds awesome, that's and I kind of... Keith Green.
Keith Green, may he rest in peace.
Yeah, that sounds exciting, and really, for me, I just think... we try and keep these things a little secret, you know, and it's like, Lacey's like, so what are they going to announce? And it's like, well, I kind of don't want to ruin the fun for you because it really is cool. And we just, as a, being a member of staff, we have some really cool stuff coming up and I'm just excited about it. Just being even a member of the Well, but just something I can really get behind and I'm super excited about. So thanks for just coming and sharing about State of the Church. And if you don't know the details about State of the Church, check the website. All the details are on there. But just know we don't have service. Wait, do we have midweek? No midweek.
No, no services this week. We'll meet all of us on Sunday for State of the Church at Saroyan. Info's on the website.
Yeah. And
hey, one thing I might want to add to that.
Okay.
It's interesting you talk about when the ebb and flow of momentum.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you do a State of the Church type event, but, you know, it's nothing but crickets out there. And you're like, wow, I hope this really like gets people moving or whatever, you know. Mm. This is the opposite. I mean, the last 3 weeks of messages, and I know we may talk about that a little bit, have been, in my opinion, some of the best that have ever come from the podium here.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we just had a life group leader training event. There was 200 plus life group leaders that were there. I'm thinking, man, something's happening.
Yeah.
And I think what everybody is sensing is there's a dynamic going on behind the scenes that you can't fabricate, you can't create, it just happens. And so God is stirring in such a way that I think this State of the Church may be not just a culmination and looking back time, but it's going to be a time we look back on years from now and go, hey, remember when everything went nuts? Mm-hmm. Because God opened the doors for us momentum-wise and brought people to himself. So I think State of the Church, if you're debating, if you're on the fence of whether you're going to go or not, I think you're going to regret if you miss it.
Right.
Just simple math says if there are 4,000 kids and adults that come to our church on a weekly basis and a 2,300-seat auditorium, might want to keep that in mind.
Got to fill it out.
Carry the one, you know, that means come early.
You know, you mentioned kind of this momentum piece. Dale, who's our campus support director a while ago, he told me this analogy and he said, a lot of churches, what happens kind of... you know, 10 or 20 year mark, that is this bell curve, and it kind of, the bell curve goes up and then it kind of goes down in a curve of a bell. But he sees something at the Well, just for him being, he's been here a year and a half maybe, and it's just this bell curve that's going up and it's starting another bell, you know, and it's not a Brad bell, but a,
one
is enough.
Yeah. And it's just, it really is this exciting thing to be a part of. And I think State of the Church, you're right. It's just that linchpin almost, just it's going off after this.
Well, the life cycle of any organism for that matter, whether it's an organization or, you know, just us as humans, there's birth, you kind of grow, then you plateau, and then things begin to decline.
Right.
And if you don't cast a new vision and you hang on to the vapor of how good things used to be, you just anchor yourself in irrelevance.
Right.
And at some point you have to shut your door. So yeah, we are in a big way trying to cast a new bell curve. And I think the key is, and you've heard the message for the last several weeks, but the key is if the people at the Well who call this place home can recognize that the responsibility's in their lap and it's their mission and their movement, boy, now we're having fun.
Yeah.
And now we've cast a whole new bell curve that's really not dependent upon staff or programming, but on the people of God being the church.
Yeah. And connecting in every neighborhood.
You got it.
All right. Well, thanks, Brad. And once again, check the website for details. Up next, we'll close out the show with some announcements. Afford of being nameless, bored of feeling awkward when you woke up in the mall and can't afford a pair of trainers. Imagine when it changes, imagine satisfaction when you make it. It's more than being famous, more than the applause, or more than any form of status. More than the performances in 24 and faces. Better don't fake us, many more praises. Amen, hallelujah, tiny, look what's happened to you. Yeah, they love the attitude, brand new and improved. Yeah, and when the fans start grabbing you, show gratitude with a little bragging too. Amen, hallelujah, tiny, look what's happened to you. Who can say they ran? Who the obstacles I ran? Look, I traded friends for fans, cement from sand. Raise your hands. Wonder Man.
All right, back. And we're back.
Jane is so good at knowing exactly when I'm about to say a word.
It's because this is what you do. All right, and we're back.
Oh, if you're listening at home, you can't see, but right. I really do pause.
You
for,
do. And you lift your head, and then you bring your head down when your mouth is agape.
If you go online and hear Brad's sermon from this past week, I had to show Jeremiah. I don't know if it's on the video, but it's definitely on the audio. This is right before Brad gives a sermon. He does this. a huge breath.
It's because he got so passionate.
I know. But like the second it started, it's just a and Dave recorded it. And it's like 3 seconds long. Like, it's so funny though.
That's hilarious.
Hey, so we're gonna close out the show. We don't have any spout outs this week, but please come to State of the Church this week.
You will regret it if you don't come.
If for nothing else, come to see the little movie thing because the trailer alone is really funny.
Are you in it?
Briefly.
Are you in it?
No, but you are.
I'm in it.
And
for
Kevin. Oh
less
my gosh.
Time than
I'm
you.
The only Spoutcast person who's not on it.
Maybe you'll be
Pat
in the maybe we'll
Tom,
get, yeah, we'll get you in
we
the credits.
We need to talk.
We should get those guys in here pretty soon to talk about that video
for
and the process
sure.
of it.
For sure. And like Brandon and Kevin and
So State of the Church is at 5:30.
Doors open at 5:45.
Doors open at 5:45. But you should get there at 5:30 just cuz
you
create that
there,
movement.
I think at 5.
Yeah,
is when they're encouraging things
sorry.
To start.
Doors open to the auditorium at
for
5:45.
Sure. Yeah.
You can go into this gigantic
lounge,
what would you call it?
Lobby.
Like a lobby area. We're going to have a live DJ.
And there's even stuff happening in the breezeway outdoors.
Right.
And
if it's not
food,
too hot.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for it. I chose this Adele song for this episode. We'll play it at the end. It's like a dubstep remix because I'm really excited for the DJ. All right.
Yeah.
He's one of our high school kids and I'm just really into DJs.
And we have a Decade shirt that you can purchase $10. Mm. So
you can purchase that there, correct?
Right. Uh-huh. So you'll want to do that. There's a picture of it on our Facebook, on the Well's Facebook.
And that person who's wearing that shirt does not attend the Well.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Abercrombie Girl. Model.
Yeah. Heyo.
I love that they. This is me totally making fun of us.
That's
and
fine.
This is horrible, but not us, but the Well as a whole. They posted this photo of this guy, right? Like, hey, check out our Abercrombie model. Buy this shirt. If you want one of these shirts, post like a total God story of like something that God's done in the Well over the last few years. So it's this like Abercrombie model who's like ripped out of his mind with his shirt on, and then all the comments underneath it are like, God's totally changed my life over the last 3 years at the Well. It's just like the photo in the comments don't
line fit. Up.
My volunteer won that. Denise
really?
Jones.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Her shirt was at the IHOP yesterday.
So if
really like
if you're not there, we will sadly miss you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why.
Or we won't know that you didn't show up.
We'll know, Sarah.
I don't know why they didn't ask
to
us to host it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why not?
We should do a live show. Oh my gosh.
They need to have it like MCs. You know, like
that's what
welcome.
I'm saying, like a live commentary, kind of like they do sometimes at like
like a red carpet.
Yeah.
Can I be the fashion person?
Christian, what are you wearing?
That's what I thought they were going to ask us to do.
Bands with my toes sticking out and my
Old Navy and Target.
I never wear Old Navy. Oh. Jane was making fun of me with the Vans and the toes sticking. I got that joke. Sarah blew it at the end. Uh-huh. Just kidding. Hey, so check out the website for all those details. But this is The Spout.
And we're out.
Maybe we'll see you next week, Dave Souther.
Dave, come on, please.
Yeah.
Brad, tell Dave to get on the show.
Now.
I heard that. My buddy Andrew texted me.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was a joke.
Oh, no.
It's all.
It's because Drew is on Dancing with the Stars and Nick's on this other show, and so they're going to use this. And Backstreet Boys is returning as well. I think they might tour together.
With the same original
Kevin's
best?
Out. Kevin's out. Kevin's been out for a while.
He was my favorite.
I would want NSYNC to come back, but I don't think JT would do it.
I've told you guys about that SNL sketch, right?
No.
I swear I've told you about it. Where Andy Samberg's interviewing Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I think you did say it.
I don't think I was.
Okay, and so he's like, hey, Justin, I got a question for you. And he's like, what's up? What's up? And this is just about a minute long segment. He's like, I got a question for you. What's up?
Oh, my gosh.
When are you going to make new music, man? Yeah, it's like long, awkward pause.
Yeah.
All right. You ready, Dave?
Oh, we've been recording.
It's about time. We need to have a blooper reel or the cutting board or the drain.
The cutting floor.
The cutting floor.